Alright. Now we're recording. So we were in the middle of a Gemara, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is upstairs in Shemayim, sees God tying the crowns to the letters. He says, why are you doing this? He says, there's going to be an individual called Akiva who's going to be able to learn halachas from these things. So Moshe goes back in behind his shear, doesn't know what's flying, hears Akiva say, okay, you know, it's halacha Moshe Mishinai, Moshe's appeased. Moshe goes and asks God, why are you giving the Torah? Through me, if you have a guy like him coming up in the lineup. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. Okay. Now the next, probably a little bit more confusing part happens. So again, Moshe turns to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So I'm going to...
Sorry to interrupt. 5 o'clock at an organization called Masa. You probably haven't heard of it. They come to do a check at the yeshiva. You should be in the main center around 5 o'clock.
Are they giving us backpack?
What?
Are they giving us stuff?
Could be. I don't remember them coming with the visit list here. Yeah? And then the mailing them out. But, okay, 5 o'clock, they've managed.
Alright, Kevin,
are
you talking to us?
So, they give out a questionnaire, they might talk to certain individuals, but not the...
Cat, okay. If you are now receiving the void,
tracking a package,
yes. It's been in Israel for over a week.
Supposed to be doing a few things for me.
Shady stuff. Anyways.
Droids.
Alcohol.
Anyway, so I'm up for Rabbi Shalom, right? Said to Rabbi Shalom, Harisani Tarasa, you showed me his Torah. Sareni Scharoi, show me his reward. So I'm a little chazulach. So God says, okay, turn around back to the big screen. Click. Chazulach, Rosh Hashaiklin Besarav Makrin.
Did you say the word reward or death?
Scharo means his reward. Schar is reward. So, Akash Baruch Hu makes him turn around, he looks and he sees Rabbi Kiva's end. And Rabbi Kiva's end is that the Romans, Rabbi Kiva was one of the Asari Haridian Malchus, and Rabbi Kiva's skin was combed off with iron combs. I'm a little fun of. So Moshe turns back around to God, right? You know, all of a sudden he sees a horror flick on the screen. He says, Rabbi Shalom, Zu Torah, Zu Schairah. This is Torah and this is its reward. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says again to Moshe, Shtok. Shut up. Right? Kach all of the machshavim. Right? I know what I'm doing. So, what does that mean? How in the world can we understand that? That Mikiva, and Moshe saw something happen to Mikiva and Mikiva didn't. Right? And Moshe didn't understand what was going on. And obviously, what was God's intention over here of showing this to Moshe? Showing that that's what happened to Rabbi Kiva, that was Rabbi Kiva's reward. How in the world can we understand that was Rabbi Kiva's reward?
So I just heard a Midrash once that Rabbi Kiva was getting his face combed off. Like he had like a discussion with his students, and they're why he wasn't screaming, but he was like laughing. Rabbi Kiva said that Hashem gave him the opportunity to fulfill the last mitzvah he hadn't done yet and die al kiddush Hashem.
And therefore?
Therefore, his reward is to do all the mitzvahs.
So, what you're quoting is actually Gemara in Brachos. According to the famous Gemara in Brachos, in the ninth parak, that says that when Rabbi Kiva was getting his skin combed off with iron combs, he was laughing. And he was saying Shema. Saying Shema. And his Talmidim said, Rebbe Ad Kan, even now. Even now you're saying Shema. And Rabbi Kiva says, you're looking at the situation wrong. You're seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is torturing me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually doing the biggest chesed to me. I've been waiting my entire life to mekayim the mitzvah of b'chol nafshecha, to give up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's letting me do that mitzvah. He's not letting me leave the world with one mitzvah undone. And so Rabbi Kiva was being marech be'echad. He was... I guess elongating the word echad, and his neshama left with the word echad. And a bas kol comes out from Shemayim, a heavenly voice came out from Shemayim and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, praised are you Rabbi Akiva, that your neshama left the word one. We say this twice a year also. We say this on Tisha B'Av, we say Akina, that mentions this, and we say it also on Yom Kippur. And to me, it always bothered me, what's the big deal that his neshama left with the word Echad? If his neshama would have left with, you know, in Hashem's name, that would have been pretty cool, right? Or his neshama left with the word Kedusha, right? But what's the big deal with the word Echad? So if you look at Rabbi Akiva's life, you see that Rabbi Akiva is a very, very interesting individual. He's an interesting individual. What do I mean he's an interesting individual? Every single thing that happened in Rabbi Akiva's life, every single thing that Rabbi Akiva built was destroyed in his lifetime. Rabbi Akiva becomes a Baal Teshuva at the age of 40 years old, marries the daughter of Kaaba Savua, who is the richest man in all of Israel. What happens immediately after that? He gets disowned. And they live in absolute poverty. Rabbi Akiva built a yeshiva of 24,000 Talmidim. And those 24,000 Talmidim die in a period of 26 days. Rabbi Akiva believes that Bar Kokhba is Mashiach. So much so that Rabbi Akiva becomes the caddy for Bar Kokhba. He carries around his sword for him. And every single time that Bar Kokhba walks by, Rabbi Akiva gets up and says, Hinei HaMalcha Mashicha. Here's the Melech Mashiach. And Bar Kokhba was killed by the Romans. Every single instance in Rabbi Akiva's life, Rabbi Akiva keeps going. What gave Rabbi Akiva that capability? What was Rabbi Akiva's koach to be able to keep going through all of this? What was Rabbi Akiva's capability? What allowed him to go through it? That what?
It was all for happening for a reason.
So do you guys know who Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was?
The guy that went off the Derek?
Nope.
No, it was another name.
Nope. The mayor was one of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, whose his first Rebbe was Acher, who went off the Derek. Okay, but who's Rebbe's?
Rav Shimon.
Who? Bar Yochai was one of Rabbi Akiva's students. Who's Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe? Any of you know?
I actually know, but I can't remember that.
There's a Gemara in Chagigah that tells you who Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was.
What's that? What?
It's the Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom, the very last line.
Not helping you right now.
Nope.
Not yet.
Maybe if I can jog your memory with the Gemara. The Gemara says, why does it say Esa Shemayim ve Esa Aretz? Why does it have two S's in that pasuk? They asked Rabbi Akiva, Ata Sheshishamta Es Nochom Ishgamzu.
Yeah.
For 22 years. You were Mishamish Nochom Ishgamzu for 22 years. Why 22 years? Why specifically 22 years? You guys wonder that? There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. And the Aleph Beis is how the world was created. The world was created with the Aleph Beis. Lysias. Who was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe? Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Nachum Ishgamzu. You guys know who Nachum Ishgamzu was?
Yes.
Why was he called Nachum Ishgamzu?
No
matter what happened, he said Gamzu was over. Right? Every single thing that happened to Nachum Ishgamzu, right? Everything was Gamzu was over. So he was Mishamash Nachum Ishgamzu for 22 years. He got a capability of being able to see the world in a certain way. I'll tell you an unbelievable measure. The measure is the beginning of Parshas Chukas, middle of Parshas Chukas. It's interesting also between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu asked God in Parshas Chukas, Hareini no darkecho. Show me your ways. What does God respond to Moshe Rabbeinu?
Can't see my face.
Panai lo yiru. You can't see my face, but you can see my back. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show Moshe Rabbeinu?
The kesher
of what? Of his tefillin. So the Medrash says that God responded to Moshe, I can't show you what I'm going to show Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva saw Kol Hador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva saw all the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Yidei Moshe means, what does it mean when we saw all the splendor? Hadar, right? So Kol Yakar, we see it called Kol Yakar. What does Yakar mean? So we know we have a pasuk like Yehudim Haisa Ayur V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar. What's V'Yikar? V'Yikar is Tefillin. Rabbi Akiva saw the Tefillin Sharosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe only saw the Kesher. What was the question that Moshe asked God, and what was the response that God gave him? When Moshe asked to God, show me your ways, what was he asking? So he asked, why is it tzaddik v'ralo and rosh v'tovlo? He says, why is it sometimes that tzaddikim have it bad in life and rishayim have it good? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't show you. You can't understand it. But I can show you the Kesher, right, Me'achori, from behind. What was he showing in the Kesher Shel Tefillin? What does the Tefillin Sharosh have anything to do with it? First of all, you ever wonder what it means that God wears Tefillin? What do you think, Jack? You ever hear that before, God wears Tefillin? You never heard that before? That's a Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos is that God wears Tefillin. What does it mean that God wears Tefillin?
Isn't Tefillin supposed to show our Kesher to Hashem?
Both the Tefillin. Tefillin is all about Kesher, right? One of the reasons why we wear Tefillin is because we're showing we're bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why do we wear two different Tefillins? Tefillin Shoyad is connected the heart. Tefillin Shorosh is connected your mind. Tefillin Shoyad, does anybody know what the difference between Tefillin Shoyad and Tefillin Shorosh is? If there's individual compartments or not. The Tefillin Shoyad has one compartment on the inside. Now you have four parashiyos written on the parchment. The Tefillin Shoyad is all on one piece of parchment put into one compartment. The Tefillin Sharosh is four different compartments, four different parshas. You ever wonder why? You ever wonder why? Because your Tefillin Shoyad and your Tefillin Sharosh represent two different things. Your Tefillin Shoyad represents your Avos Hashem. And your Tefillin Sharosh represents your Yiras Hashem. Or more so your Ashkacha Pratis.
They say there's something else, there's something different inside Hashem's Tefillin.
Well, hold on a second. Yeah, because every single thing, every single parsha that's in our tefillin talks about the greatness of God. The parshas that are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin talk about the greatness of Kal Yisrael. That's so funny. That was...
Text.
What?
Text.
What text?
What?
What text? Oh, the text you got. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyach Ba'aretz is written in God's tefillin. Who is like Kal Yisrael? And just like we wear a tefillin shayan and tefillin shorosh because we're trying to bind our heart and our mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound to us. And just like the tefillin shayad represents our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin shayad represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to us. That's why there's one bias, one house, one compartment, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every yid the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love any single yid any more or less than anybody else. But the Tefillin Sharosh is something different. Tefillin Sharosh represents Ashkacha Pratis. You guys know what Ashkacha Pratis means?
Divine intervention.
How much God intervenes into your day-to-day life. And that, depending on how much you believe in God and how much you believe in His divine intervention, that's how much He intervenes into your life. And so therefore, it's split up into compartments. It's split up into compartments because depending on how much you buy into it, that's how much... Right? It's not the same for every single individual. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't see the Tefillin Sharosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He couldn't see how everything happens for the good. He only saw the Kesher Shel Tefillin, how everything ties in at the end. You guys ever see it? You ever hear the statement, hindsight is 20/20?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Moshe Rabbeinu could see from the end of things, he could look back and he could see how everything worked out for the good. But as it's happening, that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't see. Rabbi Akiva saw the Tefillin Sharosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw Ashkacha Pratis as it happened. As it happened, he understood why everything was for the good. That's why, you know, the famous Gemara at the end of Makkos that talks about Rabbi Akiva is walking with three other Tanayim. First, they see a bunch of Roman officers having a party. And the other Tanoim start to cry, and Rabbi Akiva starts to laugh. So turn around to Rabbi Akiva goes, what the heck's wrong with you? Why are you laughing? He says, well, why are you guys crying? And they say, what do you mean? The base of Mikdash is destroyed. Klal Yisrael is in Golos. People are dead. We're in mourning and we shouldn't be crying. And these goyim are sitting here drinking beer, having a good time. And it shouldn't make us upset. Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing. Because if that's what happens to people that go against God, how much more so is in store for us that are actually going with God? And it says that Rabbi Akiva, they followed, another time they were walking together and they walked up to Harabayas and they saw a fox run out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And again, the other time I started to cry and Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. And Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. Can this thing record all its vibrant? I guess we'll find out. Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. And again they turned to me and said, Akiva, what's wrong with you? Right? You see the destruction of the base of Mikdash. I don't think that your response should be laughter. And Akiva said, well, why are you guys crying? And they said, what do you mean? The Kodesh HaKadoshim was a place that if any person that was not the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur would walk in there, he'd drop dead on the spot. And now a fox is running around in it and we shouldn't cry? That would seem like the right emotional response. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's the very reason why I'm laughing. Because the Torah mentions two Nevi'im. One talked about the destruction of Yerushalayim and one talked about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And until I saw the one that talked about the destruction of Yerushalayim fully completed, so I was never sure if the one about talking about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim was ever going to come true. But now I know that when I see that Yerushalayim was absolutely and utterly destroyed, it became like a field where wild animals run around, I know for sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and rebuild it again, and that's why I'm laughing. And they said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nechamtanu. Akiva, you've appeased us. You've given us nechama. Nechama, we think, what does the word nechama come from? What does that mean?
Consolation.
Consolation, comforting. Right? But what's true consolation? We think that when we go to be Menachem Avo to somebody, we think the consolation is, you know, let's say Chas V'Shalom, you know, a person... Well, Aleinu loses a child. So the way that you're Menachem, maybe you lost a child, but, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have other children. Right? Or you lost, someone loses a spouse, don't worry, your children are still around. Something, right? You know, you lose your wallet, don't worry, you still have your car keys. Could have been worse. That's not what Nechama means. Rashi Nechumash says, the end of Parashat Bereishis, says that any loss in Nechama means a machshava acheret. You look at a situation from a different point of view. It's not about seeing something else as your nechama, but it's about seeing the same situation in a different way. That's what nechama means. That's what we say when we go to be menachem avot to somebody. We say hamakom yenachem eschem. Hamakom, God. Why do we call God hamakom? Did I mention this to you guys once before? No, you don't know. Have you guys ever have to go be menachem avot by somebody? You say, Amokum Yenachem Eskan. The place should give you consolation. Now, the place, obviously, we're referring to God, but why do we call God the place? You raise an answer? You didn't think about what you were saying?
Just read it off the little sheet in the wall.
Just read it off the little sheet in the wall. All right, not only that, you say this, end of the thing. The B'soich Sher Adlei Tzion B'Yerushalayim. With the rest of the mourners of Tzion in Yerushalayim. What does the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim have anything to do with this person's personal pain? So the reason is, what?
The mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim eventually things will turn around. Yerushalayim will eventually be rebuilt, you know, and the mourners, the Avlei Tzion will come out of Golos and Avelos. So too, there's a bright light. There is a different light to it. So looking at this.
True, but it goes even much deeper than that. Because the whole point is that, you know, you ever hear the concept that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why is Mashiach born on Tisha B'Av? So the reason why we call God Hamakom is because God is the place of all things, and God knows the place of all things. God knows why everything happens to every single individual. And why every single individual needs to go through whatever he needs to go through. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only person that can give true nechama to another person. Because God knows why it happened. And He can show it to you from a different point of view. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and reveal how every single pain that we went through in Golus was really for our own good, and really to get us to a certain point, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and reveal every single individual's personal pain, why you have to go through every single thing in life. Why every single, right? Eliyahu is going to come, and Eliyahu is going to be reveal all the questions, answer all the times that this take on the Gemara, but he's also going to come and reveal to every single individual why he had to go through everything he went through in life. Takes away all the questions. And that's what you're saying when you say, I'm mocking Menachem Eskin, but only God can give you Nechama. Because Nechama is not about seeing something else, but it's about seeing the same situation. That this situation that's causing me pain is actually really good for me. That's exactly what Rabbi Kiva told the other Tanoim. You see destruction and I see redemption in the same situation. It's all a matter of how you see it. That's why Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Because we only have a Tisha B'Av to bring us to Mashiach. So the potential for Mashiach is brought out on Tisha B'Av. Now, Rabbi Akiva is standing there at his desk, having his skin combed off with iron combs. And he's laughing and saying Shema. Now why is he saying Shema? And it's, again, that same scenario. He's coming to him and saying, Rebbe, even now you're saying Shema. Even now. And he says, no, you guys are looking at the situation wrong. You look at it as an act of ultimate cruelty. And this is the biggest chesed that the Rabbanu Shel Olam could have given me. Because as we explained last time, Rabbi Akiva was a person who reached perfection. And if Rabbi Akiva would have left one thing undone in the world, he wouldn't have been perfect. So Rabbi Akiva said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing me to leave this world with one thing undone. One mitzvah undone. Because the mitzvahs are here to perfect every action that we have. And my entire life I've been waiting for this one mitzvah that I left over. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let me leave this world with that one mitzvah undone. And that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva was doing when he said Shema. And he was being marach be'echad. He was focusing on that word echad. Why? What do we say when we say Shema? Come on, guys, you should know this. What's the pasuk of Shema?
Oh,
Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Do you notice that in that one pasuk you changed God's name three times? You ever notice that? You've been saying it, what, two, three times a day since you were, I don't know, 6 years old?
Where's the third change?
Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, one, Elokeinu, and Hashem, Echad.
Echad.
No, so you mentioned God's name three times, you right? One way, another way, and then back to the other way.
Holy Trinity.
Right?
Holy Trinity.
Thank you. Well, it's a different religion. Okay, I'm sorry. St. Mary's is down the block, so you want to go there. You ever wonder that, right? Come on, guys. It's been what, 12 years that you've been saying that? Never thought about that, huh? Huh? Also, Shema Yisrael, what are you hearing? Shema means to hear, right? Means to hear.
Listen.
What are you hearing? What are you listening to?
Hashem is one and the only one.
So then it should be Da, Israel. No, right? Not Shema. Shema means to hear.
Shema
is an expression of taking something and internalizing it. Because Shema doesn't really mean to hear. Shema means to, there's no real good English word to say, but in Yiddish we say daher. You know what that means? It means to absorb. You gotta absorb it. Internalize it. Right? Make it a part of you. And what are you saying? So, Hashem, the four-letter name of Hashem, that represents God as being a rachamim. Right? Because the four-letter name of Hashem represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a creator. God only created the world to do chesed. Elokeinu is God who's judgmental. Hashem Echad. In the end of the day, it's all God's mercy. That's what you say when you say Shema. And in the end of the day, every single thing is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. Even God's din. Even God's judgment, we just don't understand it. So Rabbi Akiva was being Marech Be'echad. He was understanding the Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where everything is one. We said before, we mentioned last time, that Rabbi Akiva reached a level which Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reach. Moshe only reached the 49. Rabbi Akiva reached the 50. What's 50? What's that 50th level that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reach? You know what the 50th level of Kedusha is called, guys? Yichud Hashem. The oneness of Hashem. Everything of Abad HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. There's no imperfections. Everything's complete. Everything has a reason behind it. Rabbi Akiva was Marech Be'echad. He totally understood the word Echad. And the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in his life was for his own good. And so therefore the Basco comes out from Shemayim, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Sheyatzasa Nishmascha Be'echad, that your neshama left with the word Echad. Because that was the whole pinnacle of Rabbi Akiva's life. And so therefore when Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and he sees, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu, you showed me his Torah, now show me his reward. So as we mentioned last time, the whole purpose of the Torah, the whole point of all those laws that we have, all those 613 commandments, is so that we should be able to reach perfection. So that every single thing and every single action in our life should be accounted for. There should be nothing undone. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to see the reward of that? Look at Rabbi Akiva. At that moment, that there was not one single thing undone. He left the world a perfect person. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand it because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there. Right? Again, he couldn't see the Tilon Shorosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He only saw the Kesher Shel Tilon. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zu Torah v'zu Schayro. This is Torah and this is its reward? Is it possible? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shtag. You have to be quiet, Moshe. Because Kach Olo Machshava Lefonai. This is how things work in front of me. Moshe, you're not at that level. Rabbi Akiva is that Talmud Chacham, like the Gemara in Chagiga, that has the ability to be around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing but perfection. And so Moshe, you can't understand it. But in front of me, there's all the perfection, and that's why this is the reward of Rabbi Akiva. The reward of Rabbi Akiva was that every single thing in his life was accounted for. And that's something that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. But in life, every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, every single time you say that, those Shema, now you have a better understanding of what the Pasuk is actually telling you to. And by the way, that's why we say Shema before we die. As a testimony on our life. To be able to testify on life that every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, whether we know it or we don't know it, it was done out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom. And it was done that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what he was doing. And he guided us the whole way. Every single day you say it. Gotta internalize it. Make it a part of you. Because at the end of the day, that is the whole tachlis of you, to realize that every single thing in life is happening to me for a reason. It's not random. That's the reward of Torah. The reward of Torah is that perfection. It's even cooler pshat. I mean, not even cooler pshat, but even deeper meaning is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, And Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with what midah? No. First.
Din.
Kadosh Baruch Hu originally created the world with judgment. What happened? Kadosh Baruch Hu realized that, well, if you sin, all of a sudden that lightning bolt's going to come out of heaven and blow your head off. That ain't going to work too well. So Kadosh Baruch Hu mixed rachamim in. Most of us live on the level of rachamim. Certain tzaddikim, when they get to a certain level, can live on the level of din. Rabbi Akiva merited to live on the level of din. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the way I intended for the world to be first. For people to be able to live on this different plane of existence.
Did Moshe Rabbeinu live on them?
Nope. Obviously not to the extent that Rabbi Akiva did. Anyway. But the Gemara is telling us, that's what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara is telling us, trying to point out to us. Right? That zu Torah v'zu schar. That is Torah and that is the reward. The reward of Torah is perfection. To be an absolutely perfect person. And as far as I know, that's a level that Rabbi Akiva reached and not a single other person ever did. Mm-hmm.